Thankful to be able to be here. You know, Gavin and I, we missed Wednesday night. You know, we had been pretty sick, fevers and everything, you know, everything to go with it. But we got through the week, and thank the Lord he healed us up enough. I still have a cough, so you know, I may cough a few times during the service, but maybe not. I'm feeling pretty good right now. Last week we did a study about heroes and really how to choose heroes. That's the main thrust of what I'm wanting to communicate. And I had 5 points. I only got through two of them, and you know, we'll try to get through the remainder today. I think we should be able to. I've reviewed it a little bit. But just a quick review. You know, we talked about the hero's journey. It's a book by Joseph Campbell that was written that was called The Hero with a Thousand Faces. And a lot of the reason that, you know, I put this together was kind of to refute the idea that, you know, the biblical heroes, you know, are some form of fiction, according to Campbell, you know, who wrote that book. But there, you know, he does have some truth in the way that he writes his book. You know, I've been reading it. I actually haven't finished reading it. But I looked at the 2 points that we got through. Was first, you know, for your heroes, look for godliness. And then second, look for leadership. So we got through those two. And for the remainder, you know, we're going to cover, again, looking for courage in our heroes, looking for historical heroes as compared to fictional ones, and then looking for the gospel for heroes. Now, the whole thing with courage, you know, I got to thinking about scriptures that, you know, really speak to courage. And, you know, we see that theme throughout the scriptures. But Hebrews chapter 11, I feel like is one we have to talk about if we're going to talk about biblical heroes. You know, a lot of times people call Hebrews 11 the Hall of the Faithful. And it makes sense to call it that way, you know, Hall of Faith. The men, you know, that and women that were mentioned in Hebrews 11, they showed great courage. Really, they showed all the leadership qualities that I aim to look for with this lesson. Now, you know, we've mentioned godliness and righteousness. Those themes are, you know, going to be consistent throughout each point. But I just want to read in Hebrews 11 just a little bit. Verse 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." If you recall from last week, I mentioned how stories are things that people are trying to get to the truth. There's a general desire. You know, God gives a general grace to all men. We know that. But human beings have a general desire for truth. And they'll look for it in all sorts of places. You know, we mentioned that, you know, people will look to the wrong kind of people for heroes because they're searching for something, and a lot of people don't even know what it is. Now, I can define it pretty readily for you here. When we say faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, that's the truth that people are really searching for. Faith in the gospel is that truth. You know, we talk a lot about, you know, I think superheroes in our culture. You look at all the movies that come out, you know, they're, you know, all sorts of fantastical people. And people get fixated on that. And it's just characters in their minds. Well, you know, our culture has gotten to the point that people are making idolatry out of that.
Yeah.
And you know, you see people go to conventions and they dress up as the superheroes and They make it their whole persona. They they dedicate their lives to it. Yeah, I've always had an attitude that there's nothing wrong with having fun. I don't think there's anything wrong necessarily with just, you know, reading a good story, something like that. I love fictional books. You know, I mentioned that last week. But to put it in a place of idolatry, it violates the whole purpose of stories in the first place. If you're looking for truth, you can't find it in those places. You can find some good themes. You can find some good, you know, good things to do. Sure, you know, you can see courageous acts. Great, I'm glad of that. But to put it as idolatry, and worship these characters that aren't even, you know, real people. It just, you think about it. This has a grasp on, you know, grown adults. You know, people who. It's one thing for a child to look to these things and say, "Oh, that's great," and, you know, we even encourage it to a certain extent. You know, children do need someone to look up to, right? And a lot of times they attach to something colorful and interesting, like a superhero. Again, I don't have a problem with little kids doing that, but to put it in idolatry in your heart, it's a bridge too far. Now, with respect to courage, I think it's one of the areas where people really look to that and they're inspired by it. If you look at, like, George Washington, you know, he was, you know, a hero of the American Revolution. He was the hero, to put it frankly. He was actually referred to as Cincinnatus. That was a name they gave him as a nickname. And if you know the story of Cincinnatus, he defended a bridge on his own. And, you know, he saved the day, right? Well, you know, again, heroes are an important thing. It's worth looking at. Courage is something that is not, it's in short supply. Yeah, we don't see a lot of courage in the world. And, you know, I value courage for sure. But, you know, look at what these people went through. If you look at the end of Hebrews chapter 11, you'll see verse 35, you know, on through the end of the chapter. It says, women, 34, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. This was talking about Samson and David, people. Samuel is another one that this is referring directly to. Their valiant courage, that's something that we look for in heroes. Another note on courage. Look at Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, it's the advice of Scripture. Verse 6, Joshua 1, verse 6, it says, "Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them." Joshua had a reason to be courageous. He had the promise of God, that God was on his side. Well, do we not have that same promise today? When you look at the promises of God throughout Scripture, you know, those are ours. You know, we have that inheritance. We have that reward. Another note on courage. I've already kind of made mention of it, but historical figures, you know, this just goes right into that next point. Historical figures are people we can look to and say, this is what people actually did. When someone has actually done something of importance, you know, it's worth looking at. It's worth investigating. It's worth saying, you know, I want to be like that. You know, you have to have something to look to. A lot of times we go through life and we don't have a real vision of what we're going to do with our lives. You know, we just meander through and try to figure it out as we go. That's really not the way a Christian ought to act. You should be determined to follow the scriptures, determined to follow what is laid out before you. We have examples. That's the whole point of this. When we look at all the people in these stories of scripture, the accounts, we can see that there's something worth attaining. There's a fight to be had, and we have to partake in it. Of course, you think of the Apostle Paul, saying that we've got to put on the whole armor of God. He used the language of valor, courage. You think about armor, you think about a soldier. You think about a soldier, you think about you have to have courage to fight. Well, that's just evident in Scripture that it's a part of what we ought to be doing. Now, I think it's worth mentioning, the things that you read every single day, every week, they do have an effect on you. Well, I have just a few suggestions. If you're going to look for historical figures, if you're going to look for someone outside the Bible as an example, I'll just give a few recommendations. People like Daniel Boone. I read a biography on Daniel Boone last year. Biographies are a great place to find out what people have truly done, and seeing their accomplishments laid out in that kind of format, it's actually really helpful for you to be able to structure a plan for what you want to do. We face all sorts of uncertainty, and people like Daniel Boone certainly faced it. He blazed a trail for the rest of America to follow. Westward expansion, you had to be courageous to be part of that. That's certainly true. He fought with the Indians, and he blazed the trail. He cut the Cumberland Gap. that's a heroic man. And for him, it was just his life. It was just what he had to do. And there were so many people beside of him. But he's one that we look up to because he showed leadership. He showed courage. Others I would mention, Davy Crockett, in much the same way. Think of how Davy Crockett, he was at the Alamo. They were in a bad way at the Alamo, as we know. But he still had courage and still faced it. I've already mentioned George Washington, but all the other founding fathers. I mean, you can look at their examples. John Adams, when he was on a ship, trying to get to France to negotiate for more assistance from France in the Revolutionary War, their ship was actually intercepted, and they had to fight their way out to get there safely. Well, he was an important man in the American Revolution. He was negotiating all sorts of things with the foreign governments, and the crew said, "Get below deck." Well, that wasn't for John Adams. He said, "If these people are going to fight, I'm going to fight right alongside of them." He grabbed a musket and he started firing back. Courage. These things are so evident in the people that we can look to in history. You could look at George Mueller. His story. He was really the man who made the first modern orphanages. If you've ever read George Mueller's biography, I'm sure you realize how excellent he is as a hero. But he had a Christian perspective, and he wouldn't take money from anyone. He just prayed. I've made a devotion once on Dawson Trotman. He was the founder of the Navigators. To see someone who was heroic, I think his Christian life was very heroic, because he made a rule for himself that he would get up at 4 in the morning or sometimes 3 in the morning every day to pray and get his mind right and get his life focused on God. But after that, he also made a commitment that every day he would reach out to a new person with the gospel. What's interesting about him is the way that he died. There was a bus on the highway in front of him, and he rode motorcycles. Well, you know, he's riding a motorcycle behind this bus, and they got into an accident on a bridge, and the bus, you know, went into the water below. And he went and he saved every person on that bus. And he drowned in the end. But, you know, he didn't shirk the responsibility of having the ability to save those people and do it at even the cost of his own life. You know, these are courageous people. And they're faithful people. You know, all these examples that I gave, they actually had a there's evidence in their biographies especially that they were prayerful people and that they respected God and they looked to the authority of scriptures. You know, what better hero can you look for in the world than people like that? If you look at get the scripture here. If I can turn to it. I'm just going to do it on my phone. It's easier for me to look at. Colossians 1 and verse 10. You know, these people were following this. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. I mentioned that they all had a respect for God, all of those people, but did they not walk worthy in their lives of what God wanted them to do? You know, I just love this whole subject because it's something that it's inspiring. You can look at it and say, you know, I'm gonna make a plan to be more like these people. I'm gonna make a plan to be more disciplined, and I'm gonna make a plan to be more prayerful, like Dawson Trotman. I wanted to take some time on this specifically because a lot of times we read the Bible and we can see, you know, stories of real people for sure, but we look at it with an air of it's ancient and it's so far gone and it's so far back that, you know, we don't look at it in the same way that we look at people in modern times. You know, we're hearing about somebody saving a group of people, you know, from drowning. You know, that inspires us, right? Because it's more recent and we see it you know, right in front of us. But I don't think we should forget, obviously, that the scriptures are true, and the people found within the sacred pages of scripture, you know, they were living the same way that, you know, modern people are living. They had to face difficulties, and they had to face challenges. They still had to have that same courage. Now, you know, I've covered those two points, you know, courage and, you know, historical examples kind of together just because I wanted to bring those points home. Our last point is about the gospel. And if we look for a hero in the gospel, you know, it's pretty obvious that the Lord, he's the Savior. What better hero, what better title for a hero can you get than the Savior of men? You know, we're in such a way, you know, if we didn't have the intervening of God in our lives, we would just love sin. We would bury ourselves in it. What's the scripture say? That we drink iniquity like water. We don't even have a desire to look to the hero for all of mankind, to look for Christ. I listen to a lot of things through the week. It's, sometimes it's just random things, but I like to listen to debates with, you know, Christians and other religions, Christians versus Muslims, Christians versus Buddhists, all sorts of things. And I was listening to a debate this week, and the man was debating someone on, you know, the Trinity. I don't even know who it was. It just popped up on my recommendations. But he's debating someone about the Trinity, and he proves it using the scriptures that Jesus is the Son of God. And the other person started ranting and raving, just saying all kinds of crazy things, screaming at the top of their lungs. And I thought, isn't that just the way the world is?
Yeah.
They hear the truth, and then they put their fingers in their ears and start screaming at the top of their lungs just so they don't have to hear the truth. Look at Matthew chapter 14. I want to talk a little bit about seeing Jesus as a hero, seeing him as the Savior. In Matthew 14, verse 24, "But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." The Savior can do anything. Now, I talked a little bit about superheroes for just a short while this morning. And, you know, they do all sorts of things, you know, fly, whatever the case may be. But Christ, he was God manifest in the flesh. We see him walking on the sea, you know, here in this scripture. And people say, oh, that can't be. That can't be true. But, you know, he's the creative power of the universe. I think he can do it. Just to put it short. We see that in John chapter 1. It tells us about, you know, in the beginning was the Word. Well, when Jesus said, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid," you know, he wanted the disciples to look to him and say, you know, that's our example. That's the man we should look up to. That's the one. He is the one that's worthy of all acceptation. If you look at the end of the account here, verse 31, it says, "And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when Peter came out to join the Lord on the waters, you know, walking on the water by faith, you know, he failed. But Christ, he rescued him. He rescued him from that. And how much more are we drowning in the iniquity that I was mentioning? You know, if we drink iniquity like water, you know, there's so much of it. It's on tap. It's available at all times. It's deeper than the oceans. That water, if, you know, there's so much of it, people just are enveloped in it. Drowning. And Christ reaches his hand down and saves us from that. And there's something about that that's truly heroic.
Amen.
That's hard to beat. If you ask me, if you only have one hero, make it Christ.
Amen.
As the Savior of men, you know, we know that he is the fulfillment. He's the satiating bread of life. Through his titles, we know all of this is true. Through Christ, we're offered living water of the gospel. We find that in the account of the woman at the well. He's the reason we should care about the values that we look for in other heroes. All of it in the first place, if we're looking for truth, well, what did Christ say? How did he present himself? He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." If he is the truth that everyone is looking for, acknowledge it today. Acknowledge that he's the real truth. All these stories, all these fantastical ideas that men come up with in an attempt to tell the truth. They fall short because they look away from the Savior. Just like Peter looked at those crashing waves and feared. That's the world, you know, coming for us. But the Savior, He'll rescue you from that. Many deny the truth out of simply not knowing. It's because people don't spread the gospel. We talk about it a lot, but do we really do it? Well, if we want to explain a real hero's journey to Joseph Campbell or anyone else, we need to be able to tell the story of Christ effectively. Because there's no greater journey that a person could go through. Campbell recognized that Christ had elements of the hero's journey that he observed in all stories. Again, he called it the monomyth, a single myth to kind of look for in every single story. And he saw the elements of it with the story of Christ, and he made a false connection there. He said, oh, well, this is just copying what everyone else was doing. No, the difference is, again, he was God manifest in the flesh.
Amen.
He was the only person capable of fulfilling the things that the Scriptures say. He fulfilled all the prophecies of the Old Testament. He is the single one. Now, those of us that are saved, we know the truth of that. The world will see this and say, oh, well, you know, I think Joseph Campbell was right. You know, they do just tell the same stories. Remember that the hero in Joseph Campbell's 12 steps, I kind of briefly went over those last week. He has to go through a temptation. Well, you know, we know that Christ went through temptation, right? And he said, get thee hence, Satan. You know, he rebuked it. Well, you know, Campbell looked at that and he said, oh, that's just, you know, the elements of the story coming up again, cropping up, you know, in the account. Well, the difference is that Christ, He is real. He died on the cross for sinners. And when He rose again, He conquered death and hell on our behalf. What's amazing to me is that anyone could look at that and say, oh, that's a work of fiction. When you see the evidence all around you, Christians today are meeting to this day. Jesus Christ turned the world upside down with what He did. His gospel told the truth. We say the gospel truth. The term comes from Scriptures. Well, when I mention the all these stories and human beings desiring truth, I don't say that because I think men necessarily have any goodness in them, you know, with that desire being there. But it is bound up in a reality that they recognize that they don't have any goodness. It's something we don't possess without Christ. We definitely desire it. We desire to have some goodness. But there's that trap of idolatry that men fall into instead. We must not fall prey to that as Christians. Now, I talk all about that, and I want to make again, I made mention of this last week, but the fact that men look to all these stories, there is something good about them. You know, we can like the same stories as other people, right? We might like a movie or something, or a radio program, or a book, whatever it might be, and we might be able to share a passion for liking that media with another person. But the real key for a Christian is just to say, okay, hey, we observed the truth of the hero in the story. Now let me tell you about Christ and how He really does fulfill all of our desires and all of our needs. The power of the gospel is boundless. It can get hold of people. And just simply by telling the truth, telling that story of the gospel, all men everywhere, you know, can hear it. Because, you know, we have the ability to speak. We've got freedom of speech in our country. You know, take advantage of it. Start telling the truth to people. Tell them about your hero, who is Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah, he's the real hero of the story of mankind. I want to ask a question to end on. Are you familiar enough with the story of Christ and the gospel to go out and reach out to the world and teach it to others so that they might be saved?
Amen. Thank you.